Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. You're not scratching your head right now. You're not very confused. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a Thursday edition of the Absolute Truth Show, the sports edition, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Excuse me. I'm so excited. I'm wetting myself right now. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself. I am the High Rod. And on his knees, as always, I have the one, the only.
Taking a knee for unity. It is I, Sean Black, who is in the building once again.
Oh, thank you guys for tuning in. Like I said, tonight is a sports edition because we have a lot to talk about. So if you have any questions or comments or any thoughts about, let me see, what's been happening in sports lately? I don't know. Somebody be taking some knees, I guess. The telephone number is 347-989-8402-347. 989-8402. And also, before I forget, let me plug it in right now. This past Monday, we had a great show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You made this show phenomenal. The listener was like off the roof and shocked the heck out of Sean Black and I. So
yeah.
Tune in next Monday night where we have potential topics. Anything going to happen in the next 3 days or 4 days.
Yeah.
Where we're going to talk about a high school bully that got by the person he believed, you know, something different to talk about. And also, we have to talk about the legacy of Hugh Hefner. Rest in peace. Was it a good thing or a bad thing, or what he did throughout his career? But now, Sean Black, are you ready to talk about some sports?
Oh, yes, I am. And I think at this point, we're going to probably maybe piss people off. What do you think?
I have Phil the Fishman Fish on the line. He loves to piss people off.
Of course. It's what I do.
Yeah. Okay, welcome.
Fishman, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Sean?
I'm still alive. All 10 fingers and 10 toes. Can't complain.
That's good.
All right, let's get to it. So this past Monday, Sports Illustrated's latest cover was debuted on Monday, like I said, is a tribute to the athletes, coaches, and leaders of the sports world who took a stand this weekend against Donald Trump. Attacks on our quote-unquote, constitutional and civil rights, and injustice that's suffered by black in this country. So the title was A Nation Divided, Sports United. Before I get into that cover, Sean Black, tonight's game, the Green Bay Packers versus the Chicago Bears, which is a boring game to me right now. The score is like 14 to nothing.
It's Packers,
21 to nothing.
See, I turned off the TV for 2 minutes and look at that. But
yes.
Well, there was a 47-minute weather delay in this game. That's why the second quarter is just about to end at this time, as opposed to, I guess, a half hour ago.
Yeah.
I'm not a Chicago fan or Green Bay fan, so it doesn't matter to me. But then they could have played in the rain and the thunderstorm. I don't care. But But earlier, the Packers has asked the fans today to join the national anthem to unite and hold arms with each other as
yes.
part of the protest. Did they do that tonight, Sean Black?
Yes, a lot of them did. There were a lot of people that stood up for the national anthem, the ones that aren't doing the protests. Then the ones that probably are doing the protest but are in unison with not taking a knee or sitting down for the anthem, decided to lock arms and unity. There were a lot of fans that actually did that. There were Bears fans that did it as well. There were a lot of Bears players as well as Packers players that did the exact same thing during the anthem, where they were locking arms in a show of unity. So that seems to have become the answer to taking a knee, as far as showing solidarity, but at the same time, quote-unquote, not offending anyone. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
All right, so I'm going to throw this to Phil Fisher, because I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, this past Monday night, I know you were saying that, you know, players should get paid to play the game. They should not be part of politics and all that other stuff. What do you feel about them?
Lit.
Huh? Oh, yeah, he was lit. How do you feel about them asking the fans to join in this protest, demonstration, or whatever you want to call it, solidarity, whatever?
Well, you know, I think that they want to keep, you know, I think at this point, the players, I can't speak for them, but maybe they're desperate. I mean,
what do you mean by desperate?
I mean, desperate to keep the fans, you know, because if you look at what has been saying, the ratings have been low for the NFL, and now DirecTV itself, if you want to cancel your subscription to the NFL package, they're letting you do that because of all of this.
Oh, well.
And I think the players, I mean, it's like we all talked about this on Monday night. And we've all agreed everybody's got the freedom to do whatever they want. I mean, that's what this country is about. But at the same time, you know, I'm just so tired of talking about it. I mean, I don't know. I'll be honest. I really don't know what else to say.
Okay. I think I can kind of sum up where Phil is on this particular topic without going too in-depth.
Of course,
what
so
I think,
know-it-all.
Well, I wouldn't say know-it-all, but this is what I think it is. The fans that are football fans, the ones that aren't really into the minutia of what the movement is about, all they want is their football. All they want is their sports. All they want to do is root for their team. Win, lose, whatever is the case. That's what a good chunk of people that aren't politically inclined or don't have any issues to worry about are thinking it from that sense. At
but
the same
Sean,
time,
well, Sean, what happens if I just want to watch the game and I'm getting annoyed of seeing politics or media keep talking about it? Like you said, as a true fan, you don't want to see the game, win, lose, or, you know, you want to throw something at the TV. But why do you keep seeing this protest and, you know, they keep talking about it, the commentators keep talking about it, and not focusing on the game? You want to lose interest in that, right? And just wait for the final score.
And see, that's the point. A lot of people, and we've seen this with the protests that have been going on, there are fans that are turned off about it. Like I said before, the section of fans that all they want to do is, quote-unquote, go back to the way it was before the protests started. They want to watch their team, whether they're winning or losing. They don't want to hear about anything outside of the field of play. Yet, at the same time, these same players who have a platform are using their platform, irregardless of how much money they make, as far as what's going on, in the business of whatever sport they play, they feel that this is the platform to actually bring some attention to a lot of things that have been going on to the strife of the teams and the players away from the field. And this is something that is going to be perpetuated for a long time. This is not going away. This is like what happened in the 60s with Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown and John Carlos, who we talked about before, the Olympics with the Black Panther fist. All those things that have happened in the past are now starting to resurface again, and this is what we're starting to see now.
Okay.
Yeah, you brought up Jim Brown, and he came out, I don't remember how long ago it was, he was against the protesting players, that he's like, you don't desecrate the flag. He was somewhat against it.
Yeah, but see, the problem is, as I've stated before and has been stated also on other shows and other times that we've talked about ad nauseum, the protests have nothing to do with the flag or the national anthem itself. And I think what we're starting to see is a division between people that are looking just strictly at the flag as the icon that it has been portrayed as, and not thinking about what other people that live in this country go through on a regular basis that do not feel included with what that flag means, based on all of the things that they have gone through as far as systematic racism and all of the police brutality, which was initially what the protest was against. And just to make sure that everybody realizes that, Kaepernick initially, when he first started the protest, was going to sit down, and he talked to a Navy SEAL who told him, if you're going to protest, take a knee, so it does not look as disrespectful as just sitting down. And he listened to him and changed the protest to taking a knee, which shows you he had the utmost respect for the military, which a lot of people have taken out of context, thinking that it's all against the flag and people that died for the flag and all the other explanations. And he listened and fine-tuned what the protest meant. And that's what the difference is.
Well, let's be honest. When does all this patriotism begin again? 9/11. After 9/11 happened, all of a sudden, I'm proud to be American. Flags, everybody's homes, all this other stuff. And it has to take something negative for something positive to come out of it. You told me you and I, we're all 40s, we never say I'm proud to be American. So you told me after a terrorist attack, all of a sudden, everybody raised their flag up in the air and people who died for this country.
Well,
not to go off sports a little bit. All the time we've been to wars lately, do we have any real reason that we've been to wars? Have people think that we send out, yes, soldiers are dying for our country, but are they dying for the right reasons? Quote unquote, defending our country from what?
And that's the issue.
Has people really thought about that? The Iran war, Saudi Arabia, and all the Middle East wars. The two wars that were led by ex-President Bush. Have people thought about why we lost 3,000 soldiers overseas? For nothing?
And that was the thought process.
Go ahead, Phil.
When it comes to George Bush II, after 9/11, he wanted to prove that we were still superior because we couldn't find bin Laden at the time. So what did he do? Went into Iraq and cleaned up the mess that his father left over there. And that's why they did that. We wanted to clean up the mess and basically get rid of Saddam Hussein, just to prove that, you know, that we were the superpower. And that's what he did. He went in there with the agenda: we don't like terrorists, we're not going to take it. So that's what he did. Why
okay.
he took
well,
10 years to finals?
Yeah. But,
why
no,
he took 10
back.
Years to?
Go ahead, Phil.
Why it took 10 years to find Osama bin Laden is another story. But he just wanted to prove that, you know, that we are the superior. That, you know, and it seems like this country does police the world, but yeah, if we're going to go off sports, you know, there are places out there in the Middle East that, you know, like China. You know, I always hear people saying, you need to be careful with China because you don't know what they're up to. This guy in North Korea, I can't even pronounce his name because it sounds so stupid. This guy's nuts. We don't know what they're up to.
Well, also having to remember that a lot of people don't realize good or bad only it's a perspective that only depends on what side you're on. And as I'm reminded by a quote that Oscar Wilde said once, patriotism is a virtue of the vicious, because a lot of times it depends on what side of the coin you're at, which determines whether you're a patriot or whether you aren't. And it's going back to sports and trying to kind of reel it back to where it is now. I think a lot of people think that these kinds of things are probably too heavy to think about. But when you don't think about is you're the fan that is paying your money to see these athletes, whether you feel that they're making a lot of money, they shouldn't say anything because they're quote-unquote lucky to be making what they're making. Those same athletes that are making X amount of millions of dollars or whatever the case, they have to go home. They have to get in their car. They have to drive to wherever they're at. And unlike other people, even though they may be African-American or Hispanic, they deal with the same systematic garbage that they've gone through before they became rich, before they became wealthy and well-known. And in some cases, it can actually be worse because of that, the resentment that these people have what they're making. And those are the issues that have protests.
Well, what happened to the Seahawks player at the Floyd Mayweather Conor fight, the one that got arrested.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, he's a I forgot the name was the top of my tongue, but he got arrested. He got treated like crap, and he's a full active NFL player. But they didn't care because he was black. He's a target. He was like, wow. Even he said, here I am, a millionaire, still got attacked, still got treated like crap, like by the police.
Yes.
So he knew what Colin Kaepernick stood for. He understands what
exactly.
Something negative has to happen to you for something positive to come back.
And a lot of
Kaepernick,
people, a lot of those people that complain about the protests and what they're for, a lot of those people that are complaining have never, ever had to deal with what African-Americans, Hispanic, Latino, and other minorities have to deal with on a regular basis, just from getting in their car to knowing that they're going to be pulled over at some point just because they're of their skin color, whatever neighborhood they're driving in because they have a certain type of car or a certain type of dress that they wear as far as clothing, they're going to be picked out and picked on. Those systematic mostly to minorities. And those minorities, even in rich, rich areas making tons of money, are still subject to those kinds of issues that a lot of other people won't understand and probably never will be able to understand unless they listen to the reasoning of the protest. That's why it's done.
Okay, but I need to go back to the original question, the original topic. A nation divided, force united. Trying to use a platform to unite the nation. I'm not too sure it's working right now, but I'm looking at the cover of Sports Illustrated right now. They have LeBron James, Steph Curry, Sean's favorite boy, Roger Goodell.
I got something to say about that. Go on
in. And other players, baseball, track, and Steve Kerr, the Golden State Warriors. And they had them locked in arms. But Sports Illustrated knew when they posed this, everyone would be asking the main question. I'm sure Sean wants to address this because he loved to talk.
I initially saw this cover, I think it was Tuesday. I know it had been floating around over the weekend, but I didn't get a chance to see it until Tuesday when I talked to you about it. And I looked at the cover and said, wait a minute, where's Kaepernick? Everybody is on holding link arm in arm. You see Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, LeBron James. You have lots of players, lots of people from other sports. And you wonder, the person that was the progenitor of this entire talk, this entire deal, is not on the cover. So it makes you wonder why this happened. So they actually interviewed the editor of Sports Illustrated. His name is Steve Kinella. And his exact reasoning for why Kaepernick was off the cover, and this is exactly what he said. This is his quote. In some ways, even though his picture is not there, Kaepernick is there. I think we all know that. Colin Kaepernick, for lack of a better word, was looming over everything that happened this past weekend and looms over many issues in society right now. End quote. That is
okay. Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Phil, let me explain this to you, Phil. This is the way a black person sees it. Colin Kaepernick fight for social injustice and the treatment of black players. Once again, like I said on Monday show, the same thing that he's fighting for, the same thing that happened to him. So once again, the media is taking a dump on Colin Kaepernick. So once again, if I saw the show, but you and Sean Black took the credit. You guys are crapping on me. So Colin Kaepernick started this movement. It got revisited to a different angle now to take the attention away from the real reason and look what's happening now. Now, you cannot tell me this is not BS. That's Sports Illustrated that came up with this nonsense.
You know, it's you know, the topic is just really, you know, you are right. He was the patriarch. He started this. But at the same time, you know, did Sports Illustrated, you know, I think maybe they're afraid to put him in there because they may they may receive a lot of hate or negativity about it.
So in that case,
I'm just guessing.
Okay, I'm going by your guess. Why do you think? So why print it if you're afraid of a backlash? Why go for it then? Why try to sugarcoat it? Like Sean would say, sugarcoat the situation.
Yes. And plus, the rampant hypocrisy of this entire thing, to have Roger Goodell on the cover, locking arms with all of these other prominent athletes, and it was the NFL, and I can't believe I'm going to bring this up again, but Donald Trump helped change the narrative of what the protests were about, and it went from what the initial protests were to now showing league unity throughout the world, throughout the nation, and lock arm in arm together to make sure that everybody knows that we're one country, undivided and strong, et cetera, which is a great sentiment. And it works on many levels. If the NFL were not the company, were not the business that started this entire thing in the first place, because when Kaepernick took his knee, none of the NFL owners wanted to actually sign the guy. Who we continue to talk about is the fact that he, Colin Kaepernick, the progenitor of this entire discussion, still doesn't have a job. Meanwhile, the NFL is getting feedback, positive or negative, in the eyes of the public, and is getting the look that all of this is happening. We're all standing united. We're all together. And yet the person that helped create this whole movement is nowhere to be found. Not mentioned on the cover, no names. It would have been one thing if they had all of the players. This is what I would have rather have seen. The picture the way it is, but all of them wearing Kaepernick jerseys. That would have made perfect sense because you don't have Kaepernick there, but you have his jersey on every single player to show he himself is with every single one of them. That would have made perfect sense.
Okay, I just told this to Phil because I want to go to the next topic. Talk about football. After the protests on Sunday, Monday, you have fans burning season tickets, burning their jerseys, burning their souvenirs, because they got upset over the protests. You were upset.
That's just dumb.
Okay. That's all I want you to say. But why people are getting so upset? If you're upset over the situation, why are you going to burn your money, your hard-earned money? When we all know season tickets are not cheap. It's passed down from generation to generation, and like you gonna just throw them away because someone took a knee or lock arms with each other? Does that make any sense?
No, it doesn't. And it's just not with the protests. I mean, we've seen fans do this for other stupid reasons, like when LeBron did his decision thing, saying he was going to Miami, and then what were Cleveland Cavaliers fans doing? They're burning their jerseys. And meanwhile, how many years later, he comes back, and I see all these memes. How do you unburn a jersey? And
well,
people don't stop to think.
No, like I told Sean Black, I understand as a fan to any sport, if your team lost, you know, you go crazy, you know, you go to that moment. But to burn or go through that moment because of a protest or a demonstration, that's very stupid overall. I'm trying to use a bigger word, but it's just plain out stupid.
That's what I said. It's stupid. It's dumb.
And even more so, as we were saying before, as Phil stated a little earlier, that DirecTV and AT&T, which actually owns DirecTV, are issuing for people that want full refunds of their NFL Sunday Ticket subscription, they're allowing them to do so. That's $280 right there for an entire year. But here's the thing.
So be it.
Yeah.
So be it, you know.
There are restaurants that are now doing this as well. And I actually saw a story just yesterday of a pizza place. It's a large chain of pizza places in California. But this one in particular was actually stating that they sent out a letter to other people via their website that we understand about the protesting, et cetera, and although you can protest peacefully, we don't feel you should disrespect the flag. So they said starting October the 1st, they're going to cancel the NFL Sunday ticket subscription for those that come into the pizza place to patronize the store and watch football while they eat, because they don't feel that anybody should be kneeling for the anthem. So they're doing that. Now, a lot of people agree with it. A lot of other people say, I'm not going to go to the pizza store anymore because of that. I'll go somewhere else where I can watch football. So this is the new touchy situation. Like, remember how we used to say there were certain things you couldn't talk about in public? It was abortion, religion, and politics.
Yeah.
The fourth one is now the national anthem, apparently.
Well, before we move on, there's a trending thing on social media right now. It's true that November 12th is boycott the NFL. They make a petition because it's Veterans Day. They want people to not watch the NFL on November 12th as a boycott for everything that's going on right now. Whether you're for it or against the national anthem or the flag or whatever the case could be, November 12th, that's the day to not to watch football. Go figure. Social media will be posting that. Let's go on to the next one. This Tuesday, the FBI announced that 10 people, including 4 college basketball assistant coaches, were arrested as a part of a 2-year investigation into bribes and corruption in the sport. Sean bugged me to talk about this subject because he loved the FBI. He loved corruption and everything. So, what is going on?
Should I start playing the Law and Order theme right now?
What is going on in the NBA? NCAA basketball division.
You want to know what's funny? You're really not that far off, because until they start finding a way to pay some of these college athletes, you're going to start hearing more and more about this stuff. Basically,
For the record, this is nothing new. They just got caught.
Exactly.
I'm just saying that for the record. Go ahead.
Exactly. It's basically 10 people in 2 separate but related types of schemes that went on that the FBI has been looking at. A bunch of schools involved: Alabama, Miami, Auburn, Arizona, USC, Oklahoma State, and South Carolina. All were involved in these schemes where the colleges were getting money and basically trying to bribe players, funneling it through the coaches to going to other players and trying to bribe them into coming to the school, and doing it through sneakers, through money in general, and handling money to give to people that we all know in the NCAA it's impossible and illegal, and it's against NCAA rules to give money, payments or otherwise. It could be a dinner, it could be a cheeseburger, anything that has to do with anyone paying a student on campus or trying to bribe them to come to the school in any fashion, it's against NCAA rules. One of the people, or I should say two of the people that were casualties of this, was in Louisville. Head coach Rick Pitino and their athletic director. The reason why they got fired is because they already have a scandal that they've lived through. Two of them, in fact. One, Rick Pitino apparently some years ago cheated on his wife, and there was a big scandal with that. That's in the past. The most recent one that they just started to get past was that the University of Louisville actually had something along the lines of a brothel at the school, where they were having students running in, having strippers who were hired to service the players. And the coaches knew about this, and the coaches had since gone to other schools. A lot of them got fired. On top of that, Louisville is now involved in this. Forget about the NCAA. The feds are now part of this investigation, where we have players being bribed to come to the school. Promises of getting sneaker contracts and sneakers to influence them to go to schools that have sneaker contracts. That is completely against the rules. And a lot of this stuff that's been going on is not going to change. They just got caught.
The producer wants to let everyone know that is a great school in general. Just for the record.
I guess they're taking care of their friends, et cetera, et cetera. But, there's a lot of nonsense that is going on.
There's a lot going on. And for the record, people will need to know that this is just the beginning of a long probe. But they're not going to catch everybody in this thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. And this is part of a system that takes advantage of kids. And we talked about this before, where you have kids who have a God-given talent to whatever sport they wanted to get into, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever. And they want to use those skills to get out of whatever impoverished situations that they're in, to go to college, to go and maybe they fully get their education, but the majority of them are trying to get out of the area that they're in so they can make money to get their families out of their impoverished situation that they're already in. And the kids are already hamstrung to begin with. Now you have to deal with unscrupulous coaches, unscrupulous boosters, unscrupulous college presidents, unscrupulous colleges that are taking advantage of these kids that are going into the colleges, knowing at least in basketball you have to play at least one season before you can go pro. They know it's a one-and-done situation, so that's what they're going to do. And in that sense, we know that this guy is 6'9", 225 pounds, can play power forward, and can lead my team to a national championship. I'm going to do whatever I can to get this guy to come to my team. And if it involves paying for his mother's mortgage, whether it's giving him a car, whether it's getting tickets, anything that works, the colleges are going to do. The problem is when you get caught, you have the stuff that's going on now.
Okay.
It's no different with Penn State and the whole Jerry Sandusky thing. I mean, if you guys remember from what Sean was just alluding to, do you remember the movie He Got Game where Ray Allen played Jesus Shuttleworth? And what do you think all these colleges were doing and coaches? They were trying to bribe him to come to their school. And in the turn, he turned down the money and he went to the governor's alma mater just so he can get his father out of jail.
And once again, this is something that's been going on for like forever.
Yes.
Unfortunately, like Sean said, these athletes cannot get paid. So you got to find other ways to lure them in. It's part of the game. It's part of the system. He just got caught. I'm like, let's be honest, guys. K-Dog, I see you. Give me a couple of minutes. Should these college kids get paid? No. So what else can you do? Like you say, Sean, they want to get their family out. They need help. Some of them coming from the suburb area. Some of them come from the hood. What can you do to get your mother out? If there's a will, there's a way. I'm not saying the system is right, but I understand the system. You do what's best for you, and you do what's best for the school as a coach.
And the system is always geared in favor of the colleges and the universities to make money off the backs of these young kids. And if these kids are on scholarship and they get hurt, they're screwed. Their eligibility is done. They can't play anymore.
I did not say the system is perfect. I did not say the system is perfect. You know, things happen. But, hey, it's the chances you take. That's it. But Kato is dying to talk about something that happened to him, to his team, a couple of days ago. We knew when Chicago Bulls, Dwayne Wade, opted not to return after one season, we knew where he was going with it. We knew where he could be signed up at. Dwayne Wade is going back to the he's going back to meet his buddy, his BFF, LeBron James, and team up with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Before I give it to you, K-Dog, one thing I give Golden State credit for, despite that I cannot stand them, they're making every other team work harder, trade harder, and think smarter of how to build their own Golden State Warriors, if you know what I mean.
Question. Everybody in the Western Conference, because the Eastern Conference isn't doing squat.
Oh, come on. You know what, Sean? I'll give you a point there. Yes, you're right. The West Conference is doing everything. Eastern, well, there's still two teams, Boston and Cleveland. They might go head-to-head. But go ahead, Cato. What do you think about Dwayne Wade leaving Chicago to go meet up with his buddy?
Well, first things first, guys. Hey, how you guys doing tonight? What's up, Hot Rod, Sean? And, hey, what's up, Phil Fishman? How you doing?
What's going on, my man? I'm good.
Hey,
can't complain.
Hey, we're doing good. Yeah, can't complain. Listen, I have a problem with, you know, today I received a meme from one of my friends on social media. And you know the commercial, My Buddy? Remember that remember that toy,
My Buddy
back
my
in the day?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that Chucky doll lookalike.
Yeah, that Chucky doll lookalike. Yeah, and you know what they did? What they did was that they put LeBron James as the child and Dwayne Wade as my buddy. You see, guys, I hate to say this, and as someone who's been watching sports for years, and this is the problem that I have with the NBA now. And correct me if I'm wrong, fellas. Please step in. Feel free to step in. Where's the competition? I mean, back in the days, you didn't hear about Michael Jordan saying, "Oh, I'm going to go ahead and join Magic Johnson because he's my friend." No, what they were interested in when they went to that court, when they got on that court, it was going to be a battle. Shake hands. Hey, I'll talk to you later after I finish beating you.
Well,
go
ahead.
Now, Wade and LeBron, let's face it, they're buddies. I'm like playing together on the same team. Oh, my goodness. What is going on with the NBA?
For the record, ladies and gentlemen, for the record, K-Dawg is a big Chicago Bulls fan, so he's very upset.
Yeah.
In case you don't, you cannot tell.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I'm looking at, I'm like, man, wow. Wade, I thought he was going back to Miami. But when I saw that he was going to the Cleveland Cavaliers to go join his friend LeBron James, I'm like,
okay, though, it doesn't make sense. But don't you think let's be serious about this. Don't you think it makes sense?
Okay.
Cleveland have been to the finals the last three times. If Dwayne Wade joined, if he stayed in Chicago, they will make it to a playoff, to what, maybe the first round.
If he goes to
Cleveland, there's a good chance you might make it to the finals again.
But Wade is not the same Wade that we knew back in 2006. Just remember that.
Of course, but he's on a better squad with the Cavs compared to the Bulls.
Okay,
or to the Heat.
Great. But great. He may have. Okay, so he's joined the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, okay, let's face it. Cleveland Cavaliers are going to be one of the top teams of the East when the season starts. My issue is this, is that will we see Wade play as many minutes like he's done before?
I
don't think so.
Exactly. No. Exactly. He's not going to play that many minutes.
So
they're
going to
have
him sitting
down.
So he play off bench, play for a few minutes, get a score like 10 points, and that's his job.
If they put Wade as a starter, that would be a big mistake for Cleveland to do. It wouldn't be smart.
Not necessarily, because they don't necessarily have to let him play 35 minutes. He can start and still get spelled and put in 25 minutes a game. But you got to remember, whenever Isaiah Thomas comes back from the hip injury, he's going to get back into that mode of, well, let's work him into the offense, and he's going to start to take some minutes. They have other players and other pieces on that team, and it's just a matter of getting the team the right way and seeing what happens with Cleveland. Cleveland is still a loaded squad.
They still have Kevin Love. They have J.R. Smith.
Yeah,
come on.
Of course. Because right now, where's Iman Shumpert going to be?
On the injured list.
Yeah.
Right.
And Shumpert isn't really a scorer. Shumpert is more of a defensive player. And that's what they're going to need more so going down the stretch. Remember, they're playing in the Eastern Conference.
Because, let's face it, the Eastern Conference is going to be between Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. Those are the only top two teams of the Eastern Conference.
Can't forget about Toronto.
Yeah, I'm going to keep everything
okay.
real.
All right.
Let me jump.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Now I want to talk about Melo, how he been traded to the Oklahoma Thunder. Do you consider Thunder as a serious threat or not much of a threat yet in the Western Conference at all?
I look at the Thunder as being a threat with the players that they have.
Right.
I just now you have, I mean, it's like Melo's brought in. He's the one that replaces Kevin Durant as that scorer. But there's the thing. You still got the Spurs in the Western Conference. They can be a threat. And Greg Popovich has been with that team since God knows when, and they've always – they're still a good team.
Yeah,
I mean, the
Spurs
Rockets
have been
playing
some great basketball.
The Rockets are still a threat. But I think I think with Melo going over to Oklahoma City, it makes them threat to Golden State. I really think that.
So who do you pick, the Rockets or the Thunder? If you have to pick one of the two.
Right now, at this point, I'd probably have to go with Oklahoma City.
Sean?
Yeah. It's
you're right.
That is scary to have to go into the Western Conference and know that you have to deal with the Rockets. You already had to deal with OKC, who, without the pieces that they have now, were a dangerous 8 seed. To
exactly.
See Russell Westbrook and Paul George.
The team's MVP.
And, yeah, exactly, the MVP of the league. Paul George, who is going to be putting up 20 points a game. Carmelo Anthony is going to be there. He's going to probably be the finisher, or in one of those instances where it's like, you know what, the last, you know, 15 minutes of the game, let me get the ball, and then I'll soften it up for Russell Westbrook to just ice everybody off.
Yeah.
You don't know who to play off of. You're going to either defend Russell, double-team him, Carmelo gets open. Paul George in the paint.
If you're going to defend Russell, you're going to have to put in a lot of work, because this guy is a beast. When he gets into it, he's going to play defense. He is going to tire you out.
Yeah, but do you see Russell Westbrook sharing the ball, knowing that he's a ball hogger? Let's be honest.
I don't think so. He's not going to. You know when Russell Westbrook, once he has that ball, you're not getting it.
But see, the difference is, the reason why Russell Westbrook felt he had to do it the last two seasons is because he didn't have much around him afterwards. Especially last year after Kevin Durant left the team. He took it upon himself to carry the team around because he didn't trust his teammates down the stretch. Look at the team he has now. He's getting a Carmelo Anthony who has averaged over 20 points in his career. You're getting a Paul George who averaged over 20 points last season. He has options in the paint, whether someone's coming off the bench. You still got Raymond Felton, who can give you pretty good point guard play off the bench when they seat Russell Westbrook when he gets a chance to sit down. They got Patrick Patterson, who's going to do well at the power forward spot to come in and spell. But in general, they have a really good starting lineup. Now, the bench is going to be the problem. But other than that, this is a scary team. And if they can stay healthy, and then they can get to figure out who's going to get the touches when and where, I don't know. It's going to be a scary matchup for anybody that has to go to Oklahoma City.
Well, go ahead, K-Dog.
Well, you know, what I see is this, is that do you guys think that with the heavy load that the West has, and I'm just saying this to keep it real, and I'm going to be honest about it, the West are going to once again dominate the league. There's no question about that.
Of course.
There's no question about that. Because the East, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this bluntly, the East is trash.
Well, that's about the – you know what, that's a good lead to my next question. Do you see the Warriors versus Cavs Part 4 again for the fourth time?
Probably.
I don't see any team in the Eastern Conference competing with. Like I said, it's gonna be Boston, and Boston, they've got Gordon Hayward from Utah. So that's going to help in the premise of them losing Isaiah Thomas via the trade. But other than that, the only other team in the Eastern Conference that was going to do anything was Toronto, and I still don't even think that they're going to be as strong a team as people probably think they will be. It's
exactly.
But have you guys forgotten?
I could say this. I saw that the Western Conference was not going to be dominant, and you want to know why? Once Paul George left Indiana, I said, oh, it's over. It is over.
And then you got Houston, who, remember, they've got Chris Paul running the point now. So they got to have to find
exactly
out who's going to get the ball at the point. I think it's going to be more Chris Paul running the point, and then you're moving Harden to the two. So he's going to be playing the shooting guard because, let's be honest, he's more of a two guard than a point guard. At the time, we know the Western Conference is so top heavy now, and you still have to worry about the Spurs. So you've got the Spurs to worry about now.
Well,
you've got Oklahoma City to worry about. You've got Golden State, who are the champs that are coming in again.
Oh my
goodness! And the Rockets.
The Rockets. You know what? You know what else? The bench. If you have a good bench, trust me, you're going to be dominant. And that's what Golden – and I know you guys hate hearing about Golden State. I'm going to be honest. Golden State does have a bench.
Oh, yes, they do.
Absolutely.
And, well,
they have a bench.
Well, unfortunately, I want to talk about this topic, and I got to throw this to Phil to make Phil a little bit better, about the New York Mets. Terry Collins will not be returning next season as a Mets manager. How do you feel about that, and do you think he did a fair, good job?
You know, let's give credit where credit is due. I think he has become the longest-lasting manager for a New York Met manager.
Really?
I think that's what they have said. I believe so.
Yeah,
and
Collins
listen,
has been with the team, I think, 7 seasons now, or 8 seasons almost.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
Did he beat Valentine? Bobby Valentine?
Well, right now, from what I've seen today, Joe McEwing has emerged as the top candidate for that job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where
he
came
Terry?
From.
But how do you feel about Terry?
Listen, I feel, you know, I feel bad for the guy because he's getting a bad, because it shouldn't be all on him. I mean, this season for the Mets has been one of the weirdest seasons I have ever seen. I have never seen so many injuries for one team. I mean, I remember, you know, the worst team that money can buy in the 90s. And the Mets have had, you know, they've had last place finishes. We've seen where they've had crappy years. But I've never seen such a team with injuries like this. And I've personally been saying it with other people that I know. It starts this training staff that they have needs to be looked into, because something is wrong when player after player is getting injured like this. Something is wrong with that training staff, not the manager.
Yeah,
Sean?
And myself being a Mets fan as well, I've had to see the same deal even when the Mets last season went to the postseason. The team had a good squad together all through going into the season. A lot of people actually picked the Mets to either compete for the division or make a wild card push before the season started.
Yeah,
and what
there was a lot of expectation with this team.
Exactly. Way too many injuries. When 3/5 of your starting rotation go down in a heap, and then you lose other bits and pieces, Cespedes missed a good chunk of the season. And you had other players in the lineup that missed part of the season. And Darnold didn't play well, and he can't win it in and out of the lineup. But there's just way too many injuries, and you cannot.
This was a team that was plagued with injuries left and right.
Exactly. You cannot.
I mean, and Travis Darnold, that's nothing new with him.
Yeah.
And one time they did actually make it into the World Series. I was like, wow, okay, show me something.
But this year was not
a good year.
Yeah, in 2015 when they went to the World Series against the Kansas City, they were a healthy team with a young rotation that looked absolutely scary. This was the payback for what happened in the 90s when we had Pulsifer and Wilson and Isringhausen and all of those pitchers that were supposed to take the Mets from the 90s into the 2000s and beyond, and then that blew up in their face. The Mets as a team historically have never really spent on players, but they've always had strong pitching. And the young guys
no,
they
have
Sean,
now,
excuse me, Sean, what happened to Bobby Bonilla? They still paying for him right now? Wasn't he the highest
yeah,
they are. At one time?
And this is where I was going.
Okay.
The Mets, when they do spend, for the most part, it bites them right back in the butt. And this
yes,
is
it does.
As long as Fred Wilcox
too many errors.
Has owned the team, they have not had great success. They've had up and down success. But for the most part, a good chunk of it, as long as I've been a Mets fan, has been a lot of dreck. I've seen a lot of 90-loss teams and a lot of 85-loss teams. So I know exactly how bad this squad has been. But this year,
you know,
it has not been Terry Collins' fault. A lot of this falls right on the freaky injuries that they've had all year.
They were injured players from the beginning.
If you want to talk about Bobby Bonilla, I can tell you guys, when I lived in Canarsie on 103rd Street, guess what? Bobby Bonilla's high school principal, Mr. Leader, was my neighbor. And even he told me and my brother at the time, Bobby has always been a problem no matter what.
Okay. All right, so, okay, you guys done now? Have you let up enough steam about your match? Can I move on to real teams now? Thank you very much. But,
yeah.
I'd like to talk about
Yankees.
No, I want to talk about the playoff now.
Yeah.
What do you think is going all the way? Do you think Cleveland Indians are the hottest? They are the hottest team right now. But when they had that winning streak for, like, what, 23, 25 games, did that mean anything to you guys? Or is this just like, you know what, it was hot at the right time, but let's see in the next couple of weeks. Who do you think will go all the way?
I still think
the Cubs, the way that they played, are going to give it a good run with the Dodgers. I just think that the Cubs have started to peak at the right time.
I agree.
The Dodgers, although they ran away with most of the division early on, and they hit that slump where they couldn't win a game. They started to finally break out of that slump as well. They won four in a row.
But they still won their division because, like you said,
they were like 400 games ahead of everybody. So that wasn't even an issue.
Maybe they're tired. Maybe they worn themselves out. Like, okay.
And I think that's what happened. They hit a rough spot where they started just losing games left and right shortly after the All-Star break. They were up by like what was it, 15 games at one point or 13 games. And then the All-Star break hit, and they just started to collapse. But they had a big enough lead that they could go on cruise control. And remember, they lost Clayton Kershaw. He was out for a while, and that hurt them. So now that Kershaw's back in the lineup, the rest of the team is starting to get healthy again. And they're playing really good team baseball. They're back on top, and I think that is going to be between the Cubs, at least in the National League, it's going to be the Dodgers and the Cubs. I think the Dodgers have it for this year, even though the Cubs look really good. I still think that the Dodgers are going to come out of the National League. The American League, the Indians, to me, look dangerous. I can't see either Boston or the Yankees or maybe Houston doing something. I think Cleveland is going to win this.
The only reason why I see Cleveland going all the way because they're still upset from last season from the World Series. That's the only way I could see Cleveland going all the way. That's still in their mind. Like, listen, we was up. We was one game away.
And they're a young squad. Now they got an extra year of experience. They know what they need to do. And they bonded over that long winning streak. I think that is what helped put them back in the saddle as far as in the American League. Houston is probably their big worry because Houston has just rolled over everybody. But
I agree. And plus,
Houston's a young team anyway, So let's see what they do. But I think this is Cleveland and that pitching staff. Oh, yeah.
Do you guys pick? Okay, since Cleveland is the hottest team now, who do you see them facing in the World Series?
Well, like I said, I think it's going to be the Dodgers. I really still think it's going to be the Dodgers.
And do we pick the Dodgers for when do we pick them? Game four or?
I don't know how many. I don't know if they play the Indians. It's going to go six.
Yeah.
I still don't know who's going to win out of that, but give me a week. I'll let you know.
Well, while we're talking about baseball, we've had this whole thing, with home runs, with Aaron Judge and everything. But Giancarlo Stanton has hit numbers 58 and 59 tonight.
Wow.
And I know Aaron Judge did go deep for his 51st, but the Yankees did lose tonight.
I was about to say, I'm surprised at the Yankees this year that they made it to the playoff, and they're a good squad because people did not expect the Yankees to be good until like 2019. So to be good this early.
That's what they picked. That's what they said.
Yeah, so like, do I see them going all the way? No. But they're doing better now. Compared to last couple of years.
But you know what? I say this without hypocrisy, without being fake. Yeah, the Yankees, they'll make it if they make it, good luck to them. But with the amount of talent that I've seen out there right now in terms of baseball, it's going to be a tough uphill battle for them.
Okay. I got 2 minutes left, guys. I would throw all the sports. What happened? I mean, start with football, then we have one player in baseball. But what happened with basketball and maybe hockey? What if other players, other leagues, start doing knees and locking arms? Would that really send a message out there? And what if process got evolved in all four sports?
Oh, it's going to happen. It already happened in baseball with Bruce Maxwell. He the catcher for the Oakland A's. He did it. There was a player in the NHL who changed his mind. He was actually going to do it, and then he changed his mind. He said, well, it's not about disrespecting the flag. Somebody at some point will, especially in the NHL. Only 5% of the NHL are African-American. It's going to happen in the other sports. It's just a matter of when.
And P.K. Subban did. P.K. Subban did come out and said he will not do take a knee. He came out and said that. I mean, it's not going to happen in Columbus because John Tortorella has made that very clear. If you do not stand up for the anthem, you ain't playing.
Well,
he's made that very clear.
Well, Cato, you do see that in the NBA a lot, right?
Yeah.
Well, do that.
It's going to happen.
Do that. The NBA have a lot of black athletes playing overall.
Yeah. There's gonna be a lot of that. It's gonna be a very interesting year for sports in terms of sports and social and what's going on with social issues.
Okay, well,
ladies and gentlemen,
thank you so much for tuning in to another sports edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of Kings himself, the man that will not take a knee unless Sean and Phil and Cato join me. But in different ways. I am the High Rod with the one and only
Sean Black.
And Phil the Fishman Fisher and K-Dog. Guys, thank you so much. And don't forget to tune in Monday night right here on Blog Talk Radio for The Absolute Truth when we talk about how much sex Sean got this past weekend. All right, guys? Thank you so much. And have a good night.
Have a good night, gentlemen. Once again, the pleasure was all yours.
Of course, but Sean loves talking about sex life. Trust me on that one.
Oh, man.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.